apples and oranges. That's a phrase many people invoke when referencing a comparison between two like items that aren't supposed to be like each other at all. But here's the dilemma with using this idiom. Apples and oranges are pretty similar. And like apples and oranges, so are information security frameworks. Hi, everyone. This is Drew Williams with Guidisant. And I'd like to thank you all for joining today's podcast on understanding security frameworks. Although we're not going to get too deep into the weeds, we will cover the basic fundamentals of each of the key frameworks that the industries are currently implementing. And although this discussion won't cover all of the variations and many iterations of security frameworks that might be considered hybrids used throughout all 16 critical infrastructure sectors, we will, however, highlight those top frameworks being adopted by organizations in both the private and public sectors. So it's a good place to start the discussion if you're going to be adopting a framework in your infrastructure. And one more note, regardless of business size, whether it be two-person service contractors to international financial institutions or whether a single facility healthcare provider or large hospital franchises, these cybersecurity frameworks can be scaled to match the organization's needs and their respective threat posture. So let's jump right in. A security framework is a collection of mandates, policies, and processes and, when applied in an infrastructure, are designed to reduce and manage risk within an organization's operating environment. And these frameworks include the requirements that a security program should be designed around, as well as how that program and its success may be evaluated and improved upon. And given the number of frameworks that are being implemented across the 16 different infrastructure sectors in the U.S. and Canada, it's no surprise that many organizations have either not selected a framework or have developed their own custom framework by picking and choosing parts from other frameworks. Analysis from the Gartner Group shows that by the time 2020 had come to a close, more than 20% of their clients had still not selected a security framework as a baseline. And according to the Center for Internet Security, 95% of organizations report that they face considerable obstacles throughout the course of determining which framework to implement and how to achieve measurable success. Ensuring the appropriate security controls and processes continues to increase the operational budgets of companies of all shapes and sizes. But there are some obstacles. To implement a security framework means the organization is relying on a combination of tools, processes, and resources, and that means spending money and investing time and talent into something that is always needed, but hopefully never compromised or called upon. So making sure controls and processes are properly implemented and deployed, and that there are qualified resources on hand to manage them, not only improves the general health of an organization's cybersecurity, these initiatives can also aid in removing potential gaps by implementing and managing an integrated security framework while also helping keep the HR focus on staffing those key roles that will yield the best results on a cybersecurity initiative. Cybersecurity frameworks are the fundamental building blocks that we use as IT security professionals to create comprehensive baselines to measure the effectiveness of a security initiative, and the byproduct of aligning with a framework is that the work we do does get us closer to, if not in complete alignment with, certain compliance guidelines such as HIPAA, PCI, and the GDPR. The cybersecurity framework your organization chooses to implement should be based on several factors, not the least of which being the business goals that your company is pursuing and the sector in which it operates. For example, if you're a healthcare organization, by now you probably know that the Health Information Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, is an essential component of your business operations. But if you want to make sure you're looking at additional issues relating to not only EPHI, but any additional protected information your firm may be responsible for, you may also want to consider choosing a framework designed by the National Institute of Standards and Technology and focus your attention on data privacy. And, adding another layer, if you're doing business with anyone in California, you will also need to apply the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, standards as well. So then it becomes a compound framework built on a set of programs and controls. So let's review the three different categories of frameworks. First up on our list are the control frameworks. Organizations often implement a security control framework as a baseline to assist in their efforts to meet a specific set of regulatory requirements or mandates. These frameworks concentrate a great deal of focus on the security controls that are either deployed or missing within an operational infrastructure. A comprehensive cybersecurity control framework helps get a solid security infrastructure off the ground and addresses four really important key issues. First, control frameworks identify the foundation or baseline of controls that need to be implemented in an organization. Also, they assess the current technical state of the operation. Third, they develop a base level set of priorities for the security team to chase. And finally, they determine the order in which security controls need to be implemented into the system. The most widely implemented cybersecurity control framework is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, 800 framework, and the two subsets, 853, or FISMA, which covers federal institutions and the information systems that they use, and 800-171, or DFARS, which is tied exclusively to the internal systems of the Department of Defense, contractors, and so on, who are tied to federal agencies that deal with proprietary information on federal systems. Second on our list are the program frameworks. A security program framework provides comprehensive, segmented guidelines and processes that help an organization answer four fundamental questions. Number one, what are we doing right now to secure our operations? Number two, how do we measure the results and success from our efforts and investment? Number three, what do we want to do to advance our security posture? And number four, when do we want to achieve an improved state of readiness? Now, security program frameworks include an assortment of governance and oversight, along with technical, practical, and applied controls that are all aligned, or should be anyway, to the values, vision, mission, and purpose of an organization. And the two most recognized program frameworks are the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, which is different than NIST 800-171 and 853, and what is arguably the most comprehensive framework, ISO 27001. And again, we will get into that a little bit later as far as what the details are behind these specific frameworks. Let's just continue with our discussion on the big three categories. And this third category is often debated as being a subset of the other two, and for the most part, that's true. Risk frameworks provide a tactical roadmap for cybersecurity professionals to ensure that they're managing their programs in alignment with stated regulations or mandated requirements. And when we talk about risk frameworks, we're targeting three key factors: how the organization identifies, classifies, and quantifies risk, how an organization structures its risk management program and controls, and how the organization prioritizes responses to an event that originated with a risk being exploited. And because of the nature of many sector-specific mandates, like NERC for utility companies and HIPAA for healthcare, the risk framework grouping may also be considered as an overlap into federal, state, and international mandates, which also include PCI, HITRUST, and GDPR. And that takes us to the next part of our discussion as we peel back some of the layers and look a bit more closely at the more commonly deployed security frameworks. We'll start with the most fundamental but still quite comprehensive framework, the CIS version 7. Created by the Center for Internet Security, CIS V7 includes a list of 20 security requirements for organizations to consider as being of the highest priority to focus their time and resources. And as the name identifies, CIS V7 is the seventh iteration of this framework. The CIS is constantly reviewing business and operational trends, and as security issues become more prominent, the CIS modifies their top 20 lists on a regular basis to reflect those trends. These high-level controls include 20 separate control groups divided into basic, foundational, and organizational categories. And as a baseline, CIS V7 can serve as a great foundation for organizations to establish their security infrastructure. Next up on our list of key contenders is the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, or CSF. The NIST CSF was created as a response to the Cybersecurity Enhancement Act of 2014, which outlined the need for a voluntary framework that organizations could follow to establish a prioritized, flexible, repeatable, performance-based, and cost-effective approach to managing cyber threats. NIST is a general use framework that spans five sections and covers everything from identification to recovery, and is a suitable framework for any size organization. Like the CIS V7, the NIST CSF divides its control processes into three subclassifications with a slight difference. These classifications are core, profiles, and implementation. And the language NIST uses to describe each process is easy to digest, and you won't have to be a cybersecurity expert or have an engineering background to understand it. And as I mentioned earlier, although NIST was designed with a focus on the Fed, its principles cater very, very well to the public and private sector. And rounding out the top three major cybersecurity frameworks is perhaps the most comprehensive, the ISO 27001, or simply referred to as ISO 27K. ISO 27K was established by the International Standardization Organization, or ISO, and the International Electrotechnical Commission, or IEC, and serves as an international standard that outlines how organizations should manage their respective information security processes and procedures. ISO 27K can be adopted by any organization and was written by a community of information security experts and serves as an industry best practices that show how organizations can demonstrate alignment with ISO standards on their road to certification. The ISO 27K framework is one of the most popular security frameworks that organizations across the globe implement, and often it's also a foundation on which large organizations design and produce their information security management system documentation, or ISMS. And since the end result of any framework should be about how to manage the security of the organization's operational infrastructure, let's examine three fundamental perspectives an organization might consider when evaluating its motives for selecting a framework.
We have a tight budget. We're not very large in size, and we're just as concerned about our risk of compromise as the big businesses.
Well, that's a good question. And when analyzing risk, any organization should be looking at vulnerabilities that involve a combination of hardware and software resources. And the CIS might be the best framework to mitigate those risks and reduce an organization's threat.
We need to make sure our customers know we operate a safe environment.
Well, nothing says success like going through the gauntlet to become certified in something. For organizations that find themselves needing to attest in a more formal fashion, let's say to their client base, the road might lead through the forest of ISO 27K or SOC 2 directives, followed by a formal audit and certification of compliance.
Although we don't currently do business with federal agencies, we would like to extend our operations into those market sectors.
And that's a good point. If your organization has any intent of ever engaging federal or even state agencies, the NIST framework and associated 53 and 171 guidelines are must-have framework components of your security posture. And one important thing to remember, just like apples and oranges, there's room in the basket for both, meaning that there's no such thing as a single solution approach to risk management and cyber security. Each of the frameworks mentioned has their pros and cons, and just as organizations vary in how they are established and in which sectors they operate, their respective security maturity, risk appetite, and relevant level of exposure to compromise is going to be vastly different. For these reasons, it's important to map a framework to balance both the advantages as well as the challenges these frameworks may introduce to the business. Ultimately, though, cybersecurity frameworks provide a basis for establishing a strong security posture and reducing the risk of compromise. And adopting a framework requires a decision to commit time and resources to the project. But in the end, your organization will be far better positioned to manage risk while managing your business. And on that note, thanks for sharing these past 12 and a half minutes with me. And if you'd like to discuss how Guidison can help your organization with selecting and implementing a well-suited cybersecurity framework, contact us at cybersecurity@guidison.com. And for Guidison, I'm Drew Williams.